sure that is what always is. Because over 40 years I can have left, but of course you want me, I mean, yeah. I own in this business, you know. Today we celebrate Father's Day. I want to share with you a story in the Bible.
Yes.
Between a father and a son, and God's intervention in the process of that relationship. And in the book of Genesis, chapter 22, we have the story of God testing Abraham. After Abraham and his wife had been longing for a child, and God said to Abraham, Abraham, and Abraham said, here I am. And God said to him, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you. And the story follows. Abraham, listening to God, followed God's instructions and took his son Isaac to Mount Moriah. And as he was about to follow God's instruction in making a sacrificial offering, God, through the angelic presence, spoke to Abraham and said to him, take it easy, hold it. I will provide the lamb. And the rest is history.
That's right.
If you were to read the development of Isaac's life thereafter, you would see that Isaac, having left the presence of the father, journeyed. And in the book of Genesis, chapter 26, verse 25, we read, so Isaac built an altar there, that he was journeying through the land. And he called the name of the Lord, on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent. And there Isaac's servant dug a well. What did Isaac do? He pitched a tent. And Isaac, in the confines of that tent, built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. History will tell us that this was a time of great difficulty for Isaac and his followers. As he was, God had greatly blessed him in the land of the Philistines where he was living. He had great possessions of flocks and herds, a great number of servants. But suddenly, out of envy and jealousy, the king, King Abimelech, told Isaac that he had to go away. For Isaac was a very prosperous and powerful man. History would show, though, that Isaac moved from place to place. And as a result of that movement, Isaac had to suffer levels of discomfort. But in all of it, God was in control. And the Bible says when Isaac arrived at Beersheba, God appeared to him there. And God gave Isaac words of assurance and words of promise. God had fulfilled a covenant he had made with Isaac's father Abraham. When God said, I am the God of your father Abraham to Isaac, do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. Isaac built an altar for God in a tent. Perhaps some of you this morning are still in a state of confused flux. You're still wondering if the priest has gone mad. I ain't gone mad.
At all.
God bless you, my friend.
I am.
Some of you are wondering, why could we have gone to the parish hall? You understand why now? You don't understand then? You understand why we could not have gone to the parish hall now?
Yes.
Isaac built an altar for the Lord where? In a
tent.
And what did the Lord do? Bless Isaac.
Bless Isaac, yes, sure.
And so if you have come here this morning afraid, if you are in doubt, if you are confused, don't be like that.
At all.
God is in control from the beginning. He is going to be in control now. And he is going to be in control to the end in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Isaac was a rich man.
Yes.
He left the comfort of the riches, and the word I want to stress is comfort. And he went into a level of discomfort to solidify his relationship with God. And we're told the first thing Isaac did when he pitched the tent, he dedicated the altar to the Lord. So we are going in the right direction in Jesus'
yes.
name.
Yes.
Isaac was a powerful rich man. He could have built a tent with the wonderful lumber that was available.
That's right.
But he chose a tent. And the Bible says that God's presence came into the tent.
That's right.
One of the symbols of a tent is that it speaks of detachment. We as a people have now become detached from a building. That does not mean that our presence here must cause us to be detached from Almighty God.
Amen. Amen.
And so as Christians, we must be careful. We are not trapped to the confines of a building. Though the physical is important, our hearts must be detached from the comfort zone. I'm sure a lot of you are sitting here and you're missing your regular seat. We don't have no regular seat in Jesus Christ. We don't have no regular seat.
Time.
Some of you must be saying, well, you must go to Christmas person out in the house.
Good sermon.
Michael, I can hit you there, boy. What's your
second?
With
our
second minister, right? Oh, no, 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 no. When last, when I see these servants, you're just saying, I'm going to have a servant. When last, when I see them. You see, God and thyself, don't play with him now. Don't play with that God and thyself, you know.
At all.
When I can't straighten out things, you know, straighten it out for me in Jesus' name. Yeah. Don't play with that God and thyself, boy.
Not at all.
And so, the important thing for us is our relationship with God. And as we journey through this life, we are going to always have cause to pitch spiritual and perhaps physical tents for Almighty God.
Amen.
No matter how hard we try, sisters and brothers, we cannot ultimately keep the material things of this life. No matter how hard we try, we cannot ultimately keep the material things of this life. Because the Bible says moths will come and eat them away. The Bible says time and lust will corrode them. There is no lasting future in earthly stuff. And that's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Important as it is, Jesus did not say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness only in a building.
That's right.
He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Punto final.
Sure.
Isaac, having built an altar in the tent, he dug a well. A well in the Bible symbolizes dependence. And in reality, for Isaac, it was a matter of digging or dying. Isaac needed water, so he had to dig the well to get water. Our well today is the Word of God. And without the Word of God, we will die, both physically and spiritually. Matthew's Gospel 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread
alone,
but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
And so as Isaac traveled, and as he pitched the tents for cover and for worship, God was with him. And as I said, God kept a covenant with Isaac's father, Abraham. And if you were to go back to the book of Genesis, starting at chapter 12, and going right on to chapter 22, you would see that the concept or the idea or the practice of worshiping God in a tent was not new to Isaac. Because Abraham, in his travel, on 4 specific occasions, Abraham pitched a tent for God. And 4 of the attributes that came out of the tent pitching for God were, in the tent, Abraham praised God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the tent, Abraham praised God.
Amen.
In the tent, Abraham prayed to God. Somebody read my sermon. He praised God. And he prayed to God. In the tent, Abraham prayed for peace.
That's right.
For God's people.
Amen.
In the tent, Abraham prayed for provision for God's people. Praise, prayer, peace, and provision. All that was necessary for life.
Amen.
And so today, if God would have kept his covenant with Abraham through Isaac, if God would have visited Abraham and Isaac and their people in a tent, God will visit us here today and thereafter in the name of Jesus Christ.
All time.
And so I want you, if you had any negative feelings about this experience, shake it off this morning in Jesus' name.
That's right. Amen.
Shake it off.
Throw it away.
I wish the regulations did not were not there. I might not have gone back in a church to see this. But the bishop has trimmed me all over the place. And I am telling you that I have a funny feeling that we are going to see miracles happen right here in this tent in Jesus' name. I have a funny kind of feeling that we are going to see miracles happen right here in the name of Jesus Christ, sisters and brothers.
All of us.
But we must work together for the glory of God, sisters and brothers. I want to share with you a story. But before I share that, I want to make this statement. Important as it is, the absence of the building environment must not diminish your faith.
Amen.
It must strengthen it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
A faith unchallenged is a faith unchanged. That's the statement I want to use. A faith unchallenged is a faith unchanged. I want to give you a story about a great author. Perhaps some of you would have read his books, in the person of John Maxwell. And John Maxwell tells this story. He said a young married woman insisted on going to the Californian desert so she can be near to her military husband. The only place the couple could find, however, to live was a rundown shack near an Indian village. The daytime heat was unbearable, over 105 degrees in the shade. There was dust evermore. And if you come here on a Sunday and you find dust, don't complain.
That's right.
Wipe it.
That's right.
Wipe it. Wipe it. None of the Indians spoke English. The young wife was miserable. She then learned that her husband was going deeper into the desert for 2 weeks. Frustratingly, she wrote her mother and indicated to her that she wanted to come home. In her mother's reply were these words, and I quote, "Two men look through prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars."
That's right.
As the woman read these words over and over, she decided to change. She would now begin to look to the stars. She set out to make friends with the Indians. When they saw her genuine interest, they taught her weaving and pottery. She learned their culture and language. She began to study the desert itself, the cactus plant, the Joshua trees, the seashells that had left behind thousands of years ago. Not only did she survive, she became an expert and even published a book about her experience. I tell you that story to tell you this. This experience for God, you will be able to tell to your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As we worship God in this tent, do not be afraid. He will cover us. For the psalmist tells us that the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade. So that the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Nice. Sisters and brothers, as we give glory to God for having allowed us this opportunity to experience worship in a similar but different environment, let us look for the stars rather than for the mother. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.